Lob und Dank sei
Praise
dem Herrn.
And thanks be unto the Lord.
Dieses Lied
This song was already a sermon. 1 Corinthians chapter 13
von der Liebe,
of the love
die wir alle haben müssen,
which we all have,
dort oben sein
which we all must have if we want to be up there.
From
this place, I would like to greet all of you in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, all who have come from near and far, and especially those who are joining us online via the internet. We greet all of you and we wish you God's richest blessing. It's wonderful. These songs, these are touching our hearts. And we also recognize therein that the Spirit of God was at work. And people had an experience with God and expressed in the songs. All the psalms are, of course, hymns. And therein, the plan of salvation is contained. Also, we want to praise the Lord tonight. And we want to sing a couple of choruses. We start with chorus number 5. We'll give all the glory to Jesus. Number 6, sweep over my soul. Number 11. Isn't he wonderful? Number 12. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Thank you. Number 18. Jesus, Jesus. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Thank you. Yes, brothers and sisters, not very long, very soon, oh how nice, we shall go and enter in there, jubilating. Wonderful. It's coming very close, this wonderful day, and we are grateful to God for this time of grace which He has given us, for these hours of preparation. It's very important that we get now the connection to the moving of God. It's the last moving of God for the bride of Christ, for the preparation, for the calling out. We may not miss one service, one meeting. We always have to be there with all our mind, with our soul, with our heart. We must hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. And also tonight, we are sure that the Lord will speak mightily to us. Let us now look up His holy word. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I would like to read a couple of verses. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 from verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 from verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, who has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, may He comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Praise and thanks. Yes, we can only thank God for all of you, for each one whom He called, whom He saved, whom He has chosen. And the sanctification by the Spirit, we can experience it, taking the bath in the Word of God. These are wonderful hours in the presence of God. Also tonight, the Spirit of God will do great things in us. We must be in expectation. We must be in prayer. We must tune in with our hearts. And also, the one who brings the word, we must carry him by prayer so that the anointing by the Spirit comes upon all of us. May the Lord bless us. May Brother Alfred Borg come and pray with us. Blessed Heavenly Father, tonight we are gathered here in your presence. We believe that you are present, Lord, to help your people to serve us. Be all merciful to us tonight. Send your word in a mighty way. Anoint our brother so that he preaches your word, and stretch forth thine hand and vindicate your word in our midst. We believe that you are present, but we ask you with all our hearts, confirm thy presence in our midst. Go through our midst, Lord, and help each one of us. You know that we are a needy people also tonight. If there is sickness, Lord, help and save. Make all things well. Lord, we ask you. We ask you from the bottom of our hearts. Glorify thy name in our midst tonight. And come to your right. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing Only Believe, Only Believe. You may be seated. To the Lord be the thanks that we can be gathered undisturbed to hear God's word. And as it was emphasized already in the word of introduction, to be prepared unto the glorious day of the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord. At the first coming of Christ, John the Baptist was sent to prepare a people for the Lord. And he could say, the bridegroom is who has the bride. And this my joy is now complete. Also, the ministry which God had given for our time by Brother Branham must serve the purpose so that the bride can be presented before the Lord without spot and wrinkle when he comes as bridegroom to take us home. We have so many greetings that I fear that we cannot all regard them. We have special greetings from many, from Brazil, special greetings from Brother Christian, from Brother Albert, from Brother and Sister Holviti, from Brother Davi,
von Bruder Enoch,
from Brother Enoch,
von Bruder,
from Brother,
ja, von den Brüdern aus,
from the brothers from Cluj, Romania, then from Brother Etienne Genton, he's sending greetings. Greetings from Hungary, greetings from Brother Joseph from Atlanta, greetings from Brother Bruce from Cape Town, greetings once again from Brazil, greetings from Brother Chauffeur, greetings from the Church of Libreville, Gabon, greetings from Brother Geiler and from Brother Peinelt, greetings from Brother Chilumba, greetings from Kananga, greetings from Colorado, greetings from Canada, and then special greetings from Brother Zilla from Argentina, special greetings from Brother Mbie, from Brother Trabani, from Brother Hervé, from Brother Graf, then from Burkina Faso, from Kinshasa, from Abidjan, then greetings from Newcastle, and greetings once again from Brother Joseph from Kinshasa, and Brother Schmidt, of course, has also brought greetings. Then, greetings from Brother Cecil, from Brother Nyagi. Just greetings and again greetings from all our brethren who are joined together with us in the Lord. And just before, Brother Tati told me, who accompanied me on my last Africa trip in July, that over 8,000 downloaded already what was preached in all the meetings. Over 8,000 people downloaded the sermons, are hearing the sermons, and may receive the word of the Lord by His grace, getting it revealed. Then we have very good news from Romania, from that what God has done there in this short time, and greetings from London, greetings from everywhere. We are just very thankful with all our hearts that God's word accomplishes for what it was sent for. And this we said here time and again, not the preacher, not the messenger, but the word, the message which is believed and received, it accomplishes for what it was sent for. And this we really believe with all our hearts. Then I also would like, and today especially those who are here for the first time, I would like to welcome you. Please stand up, all of you who are here today for the first time. Do we have? Yes, a couple. Yes. May God bless in particular our brothers and sisters from Poland. They reminded me when I was there for the first time, when the Iron Curtain still existed, preaching the word of the Lord. And God not only used a big garner where the Lord gathered His people to hear the word, but He opened the hearts. And we believe that all who have a bit difficulties in the meantime, because they got under the American influence, we believe that right at the end, really all in all peoples and tongues are coming under the divine influence. And only by this God will finish his work with all of us. Then we have the timely events. We cannot go here into details, but just to not leave it out, especially concerning Jerusalem. It's of course, it concerns us also. We are not joined with any country, with any city, but with Israel, with Jerusalem, we are connected. And here, the second flag is waving in the Knesset, in the parliament. All those who are not acquainted with it, the Knesset is the parliament in Jerusalem. And here, for the first time, the Palestinians are sitting at the green table. And for the first time in the Knesset, in Jerusalem, the flag of the Palestinians and also the flag of Israel. Then we have this very sad news that the upper room was given to the order of the Franciscans. The Franciscan order should be given now to them. And there on Mount Zion, masses are held. And it should become a pilgrimage place. In my circular letter, I referred to it. And I made the remark only for a very short time. It will only be for a very, very short time. And then the Lord will take over Mount Zion and the rulership. Then all the statements, be it from Abbas, whoever it was, the two words, peace and safety, these two words are time and again mentioned, page after side by side, in peace and safety, living in peace and safety, side by side. And this, of course, is the main subject, peace and safety. The same here. Here in the Middle East Quartet, peace and safety. And then we have again the upper room. Here it's written, the upper room in Jerusalem given over to the Catholics. Already as a fact written down. Then here, the Pope will continue the talks between the Jews and the Christians. This we all know. Let it be said here, regardless of what happens right and left, regardless, the main thing is Vatican and Jerusalem, that this treaty will be made. And when this treaty will be made, that's how Brother Branham said it very clearly, then the church is already raptured. The making of the treaty, she will not experience anymore. But right before that, she's raptured. And then, the statements here. A Christian cannot be an anti-Semite. And if we then remember the Third Reich, these ears have heard it many times. The Sieg Heil, Sieg Heil. And who who they were. Who were they who had the responsibility for the murderings of the 6 million Jews? Who were there? Who was Goebbels? Who was Julius Streicher? They were Jesuits. And they had functions. And the hatred was sown from the very beginning. And then we have here the second line. An antichrist cannot be a Christian. And then I have written behind it, a Christian cannot be an antichrist. He who is a true Christian is joined with our Christ, our Lord. One could go here into all the details. But this we don't want to do. For me, brothers and sisters, is the following very important, that we recognize the time and hour, and that we just understand by God's grace that we arrived at the end of the time of grace, and that the last call is really going forth into all peoples, tongues, and nations. And that everything what happens before that is happening now before our very eyes. And if one hears the latest news, then sometime Isaiah 17 verse 1 and 2 will be fulfilled. Damascus will not be a city anymore, and it will be a heap of rubble. Then we remember Zephaniah chapter 2. Gaza will become a desert. One remembers all the Bible scriptures. One remembers Bible prophecy. And everything is in the coming. And then, of course, also Zechariah chapter 14 from verse 16, that all the nations who will remain, they will come to Jerusalem every year to worship our Lord, our God, to celebrate the Tabernacle Feast. God will have the victory. Why all these things have to be still, I cannot explain it, but God just permits it, and God will bring everything to a wonderful end. Then also the last message from the Lebanon, namely the highest Christian ruler writes to the Pope, we need Pope Francis. And then he gives the statements that he is the only one to whom all have the confidence, and from all and all look up to him from all religions, all respect him. One sees, of course, how all these things take their course, and then also at the end they will come to the end. The most terrible is really with Sodom and Gomorrah. A big headline. Homosexuality is a part of the creation. No. And again, no. A part of the fallen creation, but not of the original creation of our God. God has given a wife to Adam, and she could cry out, flesh of my flesh, bone of my bones. But everything is perverted. Everything is Sodom and Gomorrah. And we may really thank the Lord that the divine order has brought us back into the original creation order. And only he who by the power of the finished work of redemption, which he experienced personally, he will be brought back into the divine creation order. We don't want to go here into these details. It's just like that, that they have to be mentioned. And in particular, when it's about Israel. Today, I brought with me a map of the whole region. From there, where mankind started, namely right here at this point, there the city Basra is, and Basra means paradise. Basra means in our language paradise. And if you then think on Revelation chapter 9, in the sixth trumpet, the four judgment angels are bound at the river Euphrates. Here is the Euphrates. It starts in Turkey, flows down via Baghdad, up down into the Persian Gulf. And there, the four judgment angels are bound, through whom the third part of mankind will be killed. There they are bound on month, day. That's how it is written in Revelation chapter 9. And if you then remember that we have the grace also in this regard to recognize of what it is all about in this region, namely so that all the scripture might be fulfilled. I'm just so grateful with all my heart for the word of prophecy, which really gives us an overall view by His grace. And in this report about the paradise, we have the river Euphrates. It's already mentioned in Genesis, in the first three chapters. There, where the cradle of mankind stood, there, where Adam and Eve were, there, where paradise was, from there, the destruction will come over the earth. And from there, the Lord will establish His kingdom up to Mount Zion, the Mount of Olives, and we will have part in it. Just very mighty. We are grateful for the privilege, for the grace of God, that we may be here. I may not forget it. Today, I have to mention that our beloved brother Gilsong is in our midst. Please stand up. Where is brother Gilsong? And sister, God bless you. God bless you. We are just grateful. After many years, He's again in our midst. Yes, we remember all those who got older, especially all who had to undergo surgery, all who had to go through special trials. For us who we love the Word of God and who appreciate it and who we just know that God will do everything according to His Word, and that everything is written down in the Word, what will happen up to the new earth and to the new heaven. Everything is written. Now, what is still on my heart is especially addressed to those who are already claiming that the blood is no more on the mercy seat, but the revelation of the seven thunders is that the Lord has come already and so forth. Today, on purpose, I made the following. I brought with me the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant was in the most holy place. And in the Ark of the Covenant was the Word of God. And the lid, the cover of the ark, was covered with gold. The whole lid was with gold. But then came the main thing. On the day of reconciliation, the blood was applied. The blood, namely, that all who were judged by the law in the ark, on the day of reconciliation, by the blood they found grace, they found forgiveness, they found and experienced reconciliation with God. Who wants to claim that there's no grace anymore? Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. You can all read it in Exodus 25. You can all read it. What kind of measurements the Ark of the Covenant had. You can all read it. I noted it down. Exodus 25, from verse 8 to 9. And then on and on, up to Exodus 29. The tabernacle. The word. God was making the covenant. And by the blood which was applied, the connection to God was established. And then we read in Hebrews chapter 9 that our Lord entered with his own blood into the Holy of Holies. And he applied the blood there on the mercy seat. The connection to God, the fellowship with God was established by the blood. And therefore there's no condemnation anymore to those and for those who are in Christ Jesus. Just receive it by faith. Yes, we can read up these scriptures. Also this in the New Testament. Namely, that our Lord really entered the Holy of Holies to obtain an eternal redemption for us. One can read it, especially for all who perhaps are newcomers, who didn't experience yet a conversion, who didn't recognize yet that they are lost. He who doesn't recognize and knows that he is lost, he of course cannot pray for salvation. He who doesn't recognize that he was sentenced by the law, by the word of God, he of course cannot pray for forgiveness. And therefore it's just important that we make a right beginning, that we experience a conversion to Christ, our Lord and Savior. And then all these wonderful scriptures, reading them up, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world with himself. Please, you newcomers, here it's not about the changing of a fellowship. Here it's about that we make experience with God, that we experience the full salvation. Here it's about that the connection is established by the blood of the Lamb through the Word of God, that the connection to God is established. And only he who is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and who received the redemption for himself, he gets the access to the Ark of the Covenant, access to the Word of God, access to the revelation place of God. Everything else is, of course, theory. It's just religion. And therefore, please, let us pay attention. Let us take note that we make an experience with God. And then, when the connection is established by the blood of the Lamb, and if we accepted the redemption and the forgiveness, if we experience it personally, then we have the access. to the revelation place of God. Therefore it's written. Why is it written? And the veil was torn from top to bottom. Namely to show that the way is open back to the most holy place, back to the Ark of the Covenant, back to the blood, which was the blood. This was the purpose that we could see it outwardly. The veil was torn, not from the bottom to the top, no, from top to the bottom. God visibly has shown what really took place. So, make an experience of conversion, experiencing the grace of God, and then experiencing the new birth. Also this, brothers and sisters, it must be said very clearly. The conversion is when God gives us grace, if He gives us repentance, and if we recognize that we are lost and that we are coming to Him, and then asking Him for forgiveness. But then to be born again, we must receive the Word of God as the divine seed. And this is then James chapter 1, verse 18. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Born again by the everlasting seed of the Word of God. So, only he who was born again has eternal life. And only he who has eternal life can and will live eternally. How many are going from country to country and are preaching, he who believes the message is saved? No, he who is saved, he believes the message. He receives the message. Not that, oh, I believe the message. What kind of message? Which message? Whose message? There are many messages, many interpretations. So, all who are newcomers, let it be said very clearly, here nothing else is preached, but only what God has said to us in His Word. Now, in Jude, it's written, in Jude, it of course has only one chapter, in Jude, it's written in verse 3, Jude chapter 3, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Yes, and then right behind it, it's written, For there are certain men crept in unawares. Already at the beginning it was like that. Crept in unawares, unnoticed, no divine commission, no divine sending, just crept in, just making things. And then came the moment where they became independent. Brothers and sisters, back to the Word. And let me say this very clearly. If God gives us a commission, then He has the confidence that His Word is preached by a cold mouth, not my word, but that His Word is preached in the original. And this was so, and it is so, and it will remain like this. At the best, one can see it, what Peter has written. In 2 Peter, we have the very mighty word, 2 Peter chapter 1. And here we read, 2 Peter chapter 1, from verse 19. From verse 19, a very important word. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, which we have. It has become our possession. We are heirs of God and co-heirs of Jesus Christ. It's not a thing which hangs in the air, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. And then comes the admonition, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. A very mighty word. One could say, he who has the Bible has also everything what is written in Bible prophecy. But the Bible all have. But who has the revealed, the living word? Who has the access to the word? Who is entitled by God? And this I tried to say, the cloud of the glory of God came down over the Ark of the Covenant, and the voice of the Lord God went forth between the two cherubims, and the high priest who came there, he heard the Lord over the Ark of the Covenant, and the two cherubims, they were spreading their wings over the Ark of the Covenant. And there the word of the Lord went forth, not of course in the outer court, not in the holy, there in the Holy of Holies, there where God's word was, there the living word went forth. And the same happened in our time, not in the outer court, not in discussions, but really that we stepped upon revelation ground, and that we respect God's word, that we believe it. And this very many times it became great to me what is written in verse 20, 2 Peter 1, verse 20. It became many times great to me. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. A very mighty word. Are we aware of it? Are you aware of it? That no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. And as Brother Branham has said very clearly, God is his own interpreter. At first, he gives promises, and then he fulfills them. And the fulfilling is that what God is doing. And we have part in the fulfilling of the promises which God has given us. But let me emphasize it once more, knowing this first. All of us, all over the earth, from New Zealand, where the day starts, there every day starts. It starts in New Zealand. From the rising of the sun unto its setting down, may all at all places who are now listening may all take it to heart that absolutely no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. It's, of course, it's impossible that one comes together and speaks with one another. What do you think? What do you say? No! This, what God said in His Word, this remains for all eternity. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Where are now all the brothers who know exactly what the seven thunders are? Let me say this very clearly before the whole world and before all mankind. Brother Branham has really more than 70 times he referred to the thunders, namely to Revelation 10, verse 7. And every time he spoke of mysteries, only when he was reading, then he was reading as it is written of the mystery of God in the singular. And the mystery of God is Christ, our Lord, God manifested in the flesh. And now it comes. If it is true, and it is true, that through the ministry of Brother Branham, in fact, everything what God wanted to say to us and reveal to us has revealed to us and has said to us. If this applies, and it does apply, because this Brother Branham said many times that as by the trumpet angel, the seventh trumpet angel, when he blows, the mystery of God comes to the finishing, then of course Brother Branham used Brother Branham as the seventh church age angel to reveal all the mysteries up to from Genesis up to Revelation 22. Everything what we have to know was revealed and has come to the completion. Who dares to add something to it? Who? Who are these people? Who are they? No, brothers and sisters, not with me and not with us. Thanks be to God with all our hearts that we have the respect. Did I say it clearly enough? Is it clear enough for all that no one, absolutely no one can come and say, God reveals to me what the seven thunders are, seven men, seven voices, which will be heard all over the earth? Never. Who are these people? Who are they? They have no respect before the Word of God. No respect. And they didn't recognize that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. And now comes something very tremendous in verse 21. For the prophecy, not a single time, not, that's how it's written in the German Bible, for the prophecy came never by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So, the whole word of prophecy, the whole Holy Scripture is the Word of God. It's inspiration which came over the prophets. It's written, for never, not a single time a prophecy came by the will of man. prophecy. In the Pentecostal movement, many prophesied by their own inspiration. The beginnings were always good, but one time, one day, the human things came in. But here in the Word of God, there's not a single interruption. God's eternal Word remains God's eternal Word. So we understood clearly that God watches over His Word. No scripture, no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For never, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, never, not a single time, the Spirit of man came in. No, the Spirit of God spoke through them. And we have a more sure word of prophecy now. And then the mighty statements of the Apostle Peter. Here, in 1 Peter, in chapter 1, he refers to the prophets. To the prophets. And here it's written, 1 Peter, chapter 1.
In betreff dieser Errettung haben die Propheten nachgesonnen und nachgeforscht.
The prophets were searching.
Die von der euch zugedachten Gnade geweissagt hatten.
Who were they were prophesying of the grace. They were searching. Then verse 11, where he was reading, of which salvation the prophets have been, searching what or what man of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, was indicating when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. They were prophesying. They prophesied of the grace, the birth of the Savior, His ministry, His sufferings, His dying, His resurrection, His ascension. Everything they prophesied. And then in them came the diligence up. In what time all this will happen? And then we can say, when the time was fulfilled, when the time has come, then it happened. And again comes the emphasis, verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. So, it happened. In the Old Testament, it was prophesied what would take place, what should come. And then God had His servants from the beginning in the New Testament to that what was prophesied in the Old, to then place it by men who were sent and set by God, who put the fulfilling unto the lampstand. Things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Amen. So, the same Holy Ghost who rested on the prophets and who prophesied everything, the same Holy Ghost rested upon the men of God, upon the apostles. And they could place everything in a wonderful way. Then the verses from verse 23, as we looked at sometimes, 1 Peter chapter 1, from verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Also the singers, they have sung of the love of God. The love joins. Everything will cease. Prophecy, everything will cease. Love remains. The love to God, the love toward one another, the love to the Word, the love remains, but connected with obedience. Just connected with obedience. Also, this we will emphasize still. Faith and obedience belong just together. He who believes obeys, and he who doesn't believe, he who doesn't obey, does not believe. Let us read once again verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. And here, the love of God must be poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit to really be able to love one another with a pure heart. And then comes the mighty statement in verse 23. Ye who have purified your souls in obeying the truth, ye are being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Is this not wonderful? It belongs together. Ye, who ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Did we say silently, O God, give it to me? Brothers and sisters, at the preaching of the word, we must be at the matter. There's no way, there are no other way. If you read such scriptures, which have such a power, then, beloved Lord, let us say, beloved Lord, did I really experience this? Am I found in this scripture that my soul is also purified in obeying the truth? And then, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. Excuse me. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The word is the seed, and in our Lord the word became flesh, and the word which is ordained for us must become flesh through us It must be manifested that we believe as the scripture says. Then we read on, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. And now it comes. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Not some kind of opinion, but the word. And if you read the formulation in the New Testament as it is written, then always the Old Testament is meant. And if you read in the New, as the scripture says, always the Old Testament is meant. Not a single word was written. We just have to respect and know that God has a plan of salvation. And that this plan of salvation he foretold in his word by the mouth of all the prophets. And be honest, also the last prophecy in the last chapter in the Old Testament, behold, and when we hear the word behold, then we must become silent. Then we must hear. Behold, I send unto you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. At first, a word of prophecy. And when the time came, it found fulfillment. Why do I mention this? Because in our time, it found fulfillment. Let us say it clearly. What good would it be for you and for me if we would know what God has done in the days of the Apostle Paul and Peter? And if we would know all things, what God has done through the ministry, through the unique ministry of Brother Branham, what good if we would not know what kind of promises God has given for this period of time in which we are living now, then we remain in the past. But God is not in the past. He was in the past, but he is in the present tense. And that what he has done in the past led to that we may experience and witness now what he is doing presently. Let us summarize of what he is about today. We see on the things which are happening on the earth, what is happening in the Middle East, what is happening with Jerusalem. We see, and time and again we can cry out, Lord, we thank you for the word of prophecy which you revealed unto us. How often our Lord could say, as he did then, when you see these things coming to pass, lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. But also to emphasize this point now, what good would it be? Now, on the 11th of June, it was 80 years ago, when the Thus Saith the Lord was addressed to Brother Branham. As John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent with a message to forerun the second coming of Christ. And then the same man of God says, not that I would be the forerunner, but the message will be the forerunner. So it is being fulfilled. Actually, in fact, it is being fulfilled what God promised, what He said. The word of prophecy shines in a dark place, and it shines so bright as never before. And therefore, we are really grateful to God, grateful for that, what He has done until now. And we believe that the last message is received by all who are part of the bride church, is being believed, and they get it revealed by God. We not only see the signs of the time, we see and recognize the day and the message which God has entrusted to us by His grace. And be honest, thereby the spirits are separating. Thereby the spirits are separating. Some are rejecting from the very beginning, and they say, we don't need any prophet. We have Jesus Christ, and we have and have. And the others, they say, everything has come to its end. And some believe even that the prophet will return. And to this we say the same always. If there is no promise in the word of God, then there's also no fulfillment. Then people can say what they like. They can say 100 times, the prophet said, I will ride this trail again. They can list many quotations as they like. Only what God planned and promised in His word, and what He spoke through the prophets, and what He announced, only that will take place. But let us come now to the final point. Some are rejecting completely, and the others remain standing at the prophet. They make a cult of him, of the prophet. Also, to this we cannot go here into details. But God continued with His church. He led us always deeper and deeper into His word. And we can really say the word of prophecy shines in a dark place. And who is it? To whom is it revealed? Who sees it? Who sees it? John the Baptist said, I'm not the light. I came to bear witness of the light. The same it was, of course, with Brother Branham. The Lord is our Savior. And we place the preaching of the word into the center. And let me say this in closing. The mercy seat, the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant, the grace which God has given us is really to come by faith, to receive, to get it revealed as the blood-bought flock. Please, read it up in Exodus, in Leviticus chapter 16, to know precisely what God announced and ordered in the Old Testament, namely establishing the divine order. The divine order in the Old Testament was already a shadow to that what would take place in the New Testament, how God showed the golden lampstand, the table of the showbreads. God said in detail how and everything, how it should be. Everything was put in a nice order up to the breastplate, which I like the most. The breastplate was on the breast of the priest. And when somebody came, if he told a dream, if he brought a revelation, if the light was not flashing, then the man could go again. In the Bible of Luther, it's called as the right, and the breastplate had 12 stones of the 12 tribes of Israel. And in the service, the breastplate had to be carried. And if somebody had a revelation from God, he had to come. He told them, and then these stones flashed. And the light was the confirmation that what was said, that it is from God, of God. But if the light didn't flash, what then? Then this man or this woman could go again. And they knew exactly God has nothing to do with it. How is it in the New Testament? If it is written, they remained in the doctrine of the apostles. Where is the breastplate? Where is the doctrine of the apostles? And by grace, we may preach this doctrine and practice this doctrine. By grace, we have the word of prophecy, and we have the apostolic word, the word of the apostles. And so, we are just grateful for the heavenly harmony of the Old and New Testament, and that God, in such a wonderful way, that He lets us having part in that what He promised, and in that what He is doing right now. Dear brothers and sisters, may it be fall into your hearts once for all. Only the elect will receive and accept, will believe as the scripture has said. All the others will remain in their own interpretations. So, have the faith. Really, have the faith with all your heart that we found grace in the sight of God. That we know our Lord and Savior has applied the blood on the mercy seat. Forgiveness, reconciliation was given to us. Verily, God was in Christ and reconciled the world with Himself. And as Paul has written to the Romans, the elect has obtained it. All the others were hardened. And then the admonition, don't harden your hearts, but today, if you hear His voice, receive it, accept it, and the Lord God will finish His work in our time. To Him be the thanks for the blood of the new covenant. A making of the covenant took place. The blood of the new covenant was shed for us. And we're just so grateful that we found grace in the sight of God. And that we don't believe any interpretation of the word, but that we just believe the word in the original. May the Lord God lift up His countenance over all of us, and may He give all the grace from the rising of the sun up to its setting down. May all found grace in the sight of God. May all recognize the day and the message, and that what God promised and is doing. May all recognize it. May all have part in it. To Him, the everlasting, ever faithful God, be the thanks and the worship for all throughout all eternity. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let us stand up, and as so often, let us sing Just As I Am. As we are having our heads bowed in prayer, and as we let the word speak to us, let us pray in particular for all who have a request, and then especially for all who would like to have an experience with God, who would like to experience the power of the blood, the redemption, the forgiveness, the reconciliation with God, who would like to experience it. Here is, of course, the point. Because the original sin happened in the body of flesh and blood, therefore, the Lord came to us. He has shed His holy, divine blood. We are reconciled with God. And that what is written in Isaiah 1 verse 18 has become true. Even your sin is red as scarlet. Red like crimson. Shall be white as wool. The mercy seat is still full with the blood. The blood speaks for you. It speaks for me. A full reconciliation. A full forgiveness. And not only that, the Lord speaks to all who got the connection with God by the tabernacle. Oh God, it flows over me. It's mighty. You have done great things. You have done great things. Hallelujah. The judgment throne became the mercy seat. Oh God, all who would like to consecrate their lives to the Lord, please raise your hand. Everywhere the hands are going up. May God bless. Dear Lord, You have spoken. You have called. And we thank You for all who have heard Your call and who responded to it and who are coming to You. You are even saying today, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest unto your souls. Dear Lord, I thank You for the blood of the new covenant and for the life which was in the life and which has been manifested in us in the blood-bought flock. O Lamb of God, be merciful. Forgive everyone. May they now believe. May they experience the reconciliation and forgiveness of their sins. May they receive it by faith. Bless each one and receive all. We thank you for it. For thus you have said it. No one will be cast out. All who come to you, you received them. Oh God, all the worship and praise be unto you for your word. Thanks for your presence. You are mightily present and you are at work in all of us who we are now believing. We still remain in prayer. Do we have brothers and sisters amongst us who are bound, who cannot help themselves, who cannot deliver themselves, who must do what they don't like to do, who are enslaved? The Lord, of course, came to set the captives free. That's how it is written in Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to set the captives free. Also here and today, the Spirit of God is present to declare liberty. Receive it from God. Receive the deliverance from everything what has bound you. Be free by the power of the blood and of the word and of the Spirit. Receive it and accept it. All who are sick, also to you the word of the Lord applies. Also to you, that applies what is written. By his stripes we were healed. Believe it now. Receive it. Accept it. Speak in your hearts. Dear Lord, as sure as you died on the cross of Calvary, so sure as you shed your blood, the blood of the new covenant, so sure you, as sure as you were beaten and chastised, so sure we are healed by his stripes. A divine fact. Receive it. Accept it. This is the full gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all the newcomers and all who have heard the message of the hour for the first time, may God give you the grace. May God really give you the grace. Receive it. Accept it. And then it will be revealed to you. God fulfilled promises. And the rest he lets happen now. Our eyes see it. Our ears hear it. Our hearts believe it. Believing as the scripture has said. On this day, great things happened in our midst and worldwide. All who have believed, they may experience it. That the right hand of the Lord is exalted, and that the right hand of the Lord has upheld the victory, and his victory is our victory. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. As written in Isaiah chapter 42 and Matthew chapter 12, that he will finish his work victoriously. Our Lord is the victor of Calvary. Blessed and praised be his wonderful and holy name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Perhaps our two sisters have a fitting song. Be in reverence. Be in reverence and be in expectation. The Lord God is mighty at work. He confirms his word. His word in our midst. Blessed be his wonderful name. Hallelujah. One moment.
Mein Gott, ja.
Nimm mein Leben, lass es dein, treuer Gott auf ewig sein. Lass die Hand in stillem Fleiß wirken nur auf dein Geheiß. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen. Jetzt und ewig bin ich dein. Lass das Wort des Mundes rein, voll von deiner Wahrheit sein. Dein sei Ehre, Gut und Glück. Herr, ich halte nichts zurück. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen. Jetzt und ewig bin ich dein. Dieses Lebensflücht gezeigt, deinem Preis sei sie geweiht. Brauche hier im Kampf der Welt Geist und Sinn, wie dir's gefällt. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen. Jetzt und ewig bin ich dein. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen. Jetzt und ewig bin ich dein.
Amen.
Amen. Revelation 12. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Let us sing this chorus once again. Then we ask Brother Müller to come to the front, and Brother Schmidt will also pray with us.
Ja, geliebter Herr.
Dear Lord, my God, our hearts are filled with thankfulness for your wonderful grace. You are proving your word. You are confirming it by your own. I thank you that also today, by the preaching, faith was worked. You are God of faithfulness. We praise your wonderful name. Special thanks to the word of prophecy, which shines as a light in a dark place. Oh, dear Savior, thank you that you didn't leave us in darkness, but you brought us to the light. Please bless the whole church and all who consecrated their lives to you today. Lord, may the prayer of our brother found answer. Receive the worship and the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Great God, all of us, we follow that already, what was expressed in this prayer. The word of prophecy was given to us, a light which shines in a dark place. You have illuminated us the way. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Give grace, Lord, that all who have heard it, all who were present at this place, that we are fully deepen ourselves in your word, consecrating us. You are the one who brings it to pass. Be merciful to us. Forgive all our shortcomings. We thank you for your blood, which speaks for us. Thank you. Abide with us, Lord, as we depart. Lord, be with us in our homes. Give grace that we ponder upon what you said tonight. Also, be merciful, Lord. We thank you. Amen. Thou art worthy. And all the people say, Amen. May the Lord be with all of us. Let us close this evening in silence. All the parents are watching over their children, that really everything runs smoothly in the house of the Lord, on all the premises. I believe I forgot to give you the greetings from Brother Gajewski, former East Prussian, now in Poland. May God really bless all. Then we have our brother and sister Kupfer here. We have a couple of ministering brethren, Brother Forestieri, and a couple of brothers, some brothers, Brother Didier, and. the Lord God, may He bless all. Also all who were joining us online, blessed and praised be the Lord our God. Hallelujah. Be praised. Amen.